As promised, on the line, Executive Director for SA Freedom of Religion South Africa, Michael Swain. Michael, good morning to you. With regards to the intro this morning, what is the background on this new marriage bill? What is the purpose and how did it come about?
Well, good morning, Valent, and always great to be with you on the show. So, yeah, this marriage bill is significant because there has been a process that's been underway for a while now to consolidate the fragmented South African marriage law system. At present, we have three separate marriage acts. We have the actual marriage act itself that typically deals with marriages between a heterosexual couple, lifetime union. And then we have the Civil Union Act that was brought into being as a consequence of the Faree judgment in the Constitutional Court, which basically gave permission for same-sex marriages, although it doesn't just cover same-sex marriages. It also covers any other type of civil union. And then we have the Customary Marriages Act, and that obviously deals with more traditional marriages. But there are still some other marriages that slip through the cracks. And so the Department of Home Affairs undertook a very thorough process, producing first a green and then a white paper on marriage in South Africa. And that is, of course, the policy document. And then the Department of Home Affairs drafted the marriage bill thereafter to basically reflect what is in the policy. And they embarked and have conducted, for which we are obviously grateful, a very extensive public engagement process. And before I say, we were involved in this process right from the very beginning. So that is how the marriage bill came about.
Michael, you guys are on record for SA, Freedom of Religion SA, is on record as a faith-neutral organization, and it protects the rights of religious freedom of all South Africans in this beautiful country of ours. Can I ask you, what is your overall impression then of the bill?
Well, overall, we think it's a good bill because largely what it was trying to do was to achieve a balance between, let's say, the sacred and the secular. So government clearly has a vested interest in ensuring that marriages are properly constituted, that the people who enter into a marriage, they are obviously giving consent. They are of an appropriate adult age and that type of thing. They're obviously not already married unless, of course, it's a polygamous marriage. But government has that vested interest because, of course, when that relationship happens, other things come out as a consequence. Property issues come about, children come about, what happens if there's a divorce, what happens if there's a death. And so government obviously need to know that that marriage is properly constituted. But then, of course, there's the solemnization or the sacred aspect of it. And what this bill is trying to do and what the policy is trying to do, we think relatively effectively, is that it actually is trying to balance these different constitutional rights in a reasonable way so that people can solemnize their marriage any which way they choose, really. But government does have what it wants out of it, which is a certain knowledge that this was entered into properly. There are, however, a little bit of a problem areas still remaining, but we're obviously trying to address that.
Michael, I think you've touched on it. You've mentioned it. I'm going to ask you, however, you state that the overall bill is, quote unquote, a good piece of legislation. Talk to me about which aspects of this bill do you support, and can I ask you why?
Well, specifically, and something we pressed for right from the beginning, was that there is now an express clause in this bill which protects religious marriage officers from being forced to solemnize any marriage that does not align with their or their religious organization's beliefs and convictions on marriage. Now, the initial draft actually didn't have that. It just left it silent. And we said, no, you have to put it in, because if it's simply silent on it, it could mean that maybe they should be forced. And so you never want to get the situation where somebody decides that that's the position they want to now litigate about. So there's now an express protection for religious marriage officers, which is a big win for 4SA, a big win for the public participation process. The other thing it does is it actually extends the categories of people who can become marriage officers, and it includes secular and cultural groups. So there's absolutely no reason why anybody should be forced to solemnize a marriage that they're not comfortable with, because different groups, different cultural groups, different secular groups can actually also become qualified as marriage officers. The one thing that I think it's worthwhile saying, Valent, is that, you know, we are, as I think you mentioned, faith neutral. We are a legal advocacy group. But there are obviously some people, some groups that are concerned about the redefinition of marriage, which this bill will clearly effectively do. And they want to see this word restored to its original meaning, which is, of course, a lifetime relationship and partnership between a biological man and one biological woman. But that isn't a freedom of religion issue, although we obviously understand why that would be sensitive.
As with all things, there's two sides to the same coin. You also mentioned that you're concerned about certain aspects of the bill. What are the problematic aspects of this bill that you guys are concerned about?
Well, the one is, which is, again, we think an anomaly that needs to be addressed, is that if you are a state-employed or ex officio marriage officer, that would also include magistrates, by the way, then there is no express protection for your conscientious objection rights. So you could be forced to do not only the secular side, the sort of contractual side, but you could also be forced to solemnize. And our view is, well, why would you, just because you're employed by the state, have to sacrifice your conscientious objection rights, your religious freedom rights? We never saw that. We fought the Civil Union Amendment Bill, which then became an act, because that was going to, and effectively did, strip away conscientious objection rights for state-employed marriage officers and magistrates and so on. And we didn't see the reason for that, because in the original judgment, by the way, in the Faree judgment, Justice Albie Sachs specifically said that he believed that the conscientious objection, the religious freedom rights of state-employed marriage officers could be reasonably accommodated. It was stripped out. There should never be a winner-takes-all situation. And we believe that this bill, obviously allowing for even greater types of people and groups to be marriage officers, that should solve that anyway. So we're pushing to have ex officio or state-employed marriage officers' conscientious rights protected properly. And the other thing, there's a small little tweak, which is that, as I said, it is split now between the sacred and the secular. If you're a pastor and you're just doing the sacred part, you're doing the solemnization part, and you are not aware of the fact that the contractual or secular element of it hasn't been done, potentially you could be criminalized. We believe that that is just an aberration of drafting. And so, again, we are submitting, we are writing, we are lobbying to try and redress these two, from our point of view, outstanding issues.
Well, as a advocacy organization, the name says it all, Freedom of Religion SA. Speaking to Executive Director Michael Swain on the proposed marriage bill and the new changes that is coming. Michael, can I ask you to address then these problematic aspects of the marriage bill? What do you guys plan to do about it?
Well, we have already, and we are making submissions to basically try and correct the text. We are meeting with members of parliament. We are actually going to be addressing in public hearings through an oral submission to the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. In fact, we heard this morning that the original dates that were scheduled for that, the 10th and 11th of September, have actually been postponed. They're going to conduct a broader public consultation process, apparently. But yeah, we are hopeful, as I say, because the Department of Home Affairs has done a pretty good job listening to the public, taking it into account, and has come up with what we believe is a reasonable outcome to date. So that is our hope, that is our expectation. But you can be assured of one thing, we will be there pushing for the rights of religious freedom to be properly protected and respected.
Talk to me about the way forward. The bill is currently, as you said, before Parliament. The status at the moment, the next steps in the process, and also tell me, how can our listeners become part of this? Can they become involved in the process?
Well, yes, this bill, as it's known, before something becomes law, it's known as a bill. It was in the last parliament and it lapsed, because all bills that haven't been passed into law lapse when a parliament ends. So the sixth parliament, which was the last one, it lapsed, but it has been revived. And that is why it is now in front of the committee. And there will be these hearings. Then it will go to the National Assembly. They will consider it. And assuming that they pass it, then it goes on to the National Council of Provinces, which is, of course, the second house of parliament. And there could well be more public hearings at that point, too. And thereafter, of course, if they sign it off, or when they sign it off, shall we say, then the president signs it into law and we have a new marriage law. We expect time-wise, maybe by the end of this year, but maybe more likely sometime during the course of the first half of next year. And to answer your Other question, where can you follow this? Well, first of all, there is nothing that you can do at the moment as members of the public to get involved. The public comment process has been closed, but as and when it reopens, obviously we will do what we always do, which is to alert people and give them the opportunity to have their voices heard.
Michael, thank you so much. In closing, 4SA, as you said, a advocacy, speaking up for the man in the street. Contact details, social media pages, and where people can get hold of you or read more about what you guys are doing at the moment.
Yeah, well, obviously the first place to go, we always recommend, is to our website, which is FORSA or forsa.org.za, forsa.org.za. And we are also on Facebook, Freedom of Religion SA, and we have a YouTube channel, Freedom of Religion South Africa. And those are the best places to go. And if you go to our website, by the way, you can sign up for our newsletter as well. We normally send out a weekly update on things that are happening. We have a short video as well. So, yes, and please do support us as well. We are very much dependent upon the public to support us, to enable us to continue to do the work that we do. And this is our 10th year, by the way. We've been doing this for 10 years. We have been defending the right for faith and freedom for the South African faith communities.
Freedom of Religion SA. Thank you so much for chatting to us here at Brandpunt. And if all else fails, well, you and I, as the man in the street, what is left to do is pray and also fight these battles on our knees. Michael, thank you for chatting to us this morning. And it's all about the proposed marriage bill and the way forward. It was such a privilege speaking to you.
Thank you, Ben. Always great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.